Wasn't that a blessing? We're so privileged to have Taylor. I told this story before, but she was about 5 years old, and she used to sing at the Veterans Hall, and it was so amazing. And she learned from then, and she grew up to be a tremendous singer. And I hear Christian hymns all the time, people singing them, and modern ones and older ones. And she is right there. I mean, she has a great voice. And we're privileged to have Randy and all our soloists and all our singers. We're thankful for them. Shall we just open in prayer? Our Father, we come to you with thankfulness today that all we need is Jesus. We don't need anything else because he is our need meter. And we thank you that you provide for us, Lord, your peace and your joy and your love. And just help us today to eat the word, to drink it in. And we just pray that it'll be a blessing for our souls. Please hide me behind the cross, and may your word come forth in a powerful way. And just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Cal Ripken Jr. is known as the Iron Man of baseball. On September 6th, 1995, he broke Lou Gehrig's record of 2,130 consecutive games. It's amazing. In June of 1993, that consecutive record was in severe jeopardy. The day before, he was injured in a base-clearing brawl and hurt his knee very badly. And when he woke up the next day, he couldn't put any weight on it at all. So how's he going to continue this consecutive streak? Well, guess what? He played that night. And in fact, he played in 99.2% of the Oriole games since the streak began. That's amazing. He's certainly worthy of the title of the Iron Man. And as Christians, we should be worthy of the title of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is The Worthy Walk. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." You say, that's pretty strict. That's really narrow. To follow Jesus that way, where you love him and you take up your cross and you do all of this and put him in front of anything and anyone else. And we're thankful that he has made us worthy. We were not worthy in ourselves. We're sinners. We're still sinners. But he loved us and he made us worthy. That's the exciting thing. He made us worthy. He clothed us in his righteousness. He's given us a hope. He's given us a best life. And we're so thankful for it. Today we're going to look at three simple things. Number one, walk worthy of the Lord. Number two, walk worthy of your calling, of our calling. And number three, walk worthy of the kingdom. It's quite a challenge to walk worthy of the Lord every day of our lives, in our character, in our conduct, in our conversation with people. People should recognize that we have been with Jesus, that we love him, and he means everything to us. That's what we need to do. Paul wrote in Colossians 1 and verse 10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. To walk worthy of the Lord. The question is, when he says fully pleasing, is our life fully pleasing to the Lord? And I like how Paul uses that word fully, because he could have just said that to please him, but he says fully please him. And we want to make sure that our lives are fully pleasing to him. It's a big responsibility every day of our lives, whether things are going well or not so well. He wants us to represent him in this world and to walk worthy of him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, therefore we make it our aim or our goal to whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Again, well-pleasing to him. That's what it means to have a worthy walk, to be well-pleasing to the Lord. And I like to think of the worthy walk is the best life worth living. In the world, people are successful, they have money, they have cars, they have possessions, they have all these things. But we have Christ, which is so much better. He saved us, he's with us every day. And we should be thankful and we should seek to live a life worthy of him. Secondly, we should walk worthy of our calling. When we get saved, he calls us to himself. He invites us to come and receive him, to believe in him as our Lord and Savior and have eternal life and be forgiven of our sins. He gives us that calling. That's the initial calling at salvation. And then as we grow in our Christian lives, he calls us to service and to be a blessing to others. And it says in Scripture, well, it talks about in Scripture that this calling is a high calling. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. And when he calls us, we should answer the call. So many times we get busy. We get busy on many different things, but we should always remember our calling, that what he has called us to is what we need to do. Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Yes, he's called us to holy living. He's called us to a life that's meaningful, that will be a blessing to others. Yes, we are so thankful. And you know, when God calls, we have to answer that call. Even if our number is unlisted. See, I'm dating myself now because people don't use these phones anymore with the rotary dial and everything, but I'm old enough to remember that. And I'm also old enough to remember the telephone book. And if you dialed somebody's number by mistake, you got the wrong number. And sometimes people didn't want to get these calls, so they put themselves as unlisted so they couldn't have anybody call them. That might be a good idea to go back with that, actually, with these spammers and people that call you and everything every day. They call me so many times a day. But we're thankful that God called us and we answered that call. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of his calling with which you were called. Yes, God's calling on our life means everything to us. He's so good. And he wants us to be planted in the place that he's called us to. He's called us to the San Ramon Valley Bible Church. He's planted us here. He wants us to abide here and serve him here. And when God puts you in a place, we want to stay there. I remember Sylvia said this years ago, stay where God puts you. That's his will for you. So many people nowadays are used to changing homes, changing jobs, even changing churches. But when you have something that's God's will, you want to continue in it every single day and week. A man named Steve Brown wrote in the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. He made application to Prior Richard of a local monastery and asked to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. Your Majesty, said Prior Richard, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard because you've been a king. I understand, said Henry. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you. Then I will tell you what to do, said Prior Richard. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written. The king learned to rule by being obedient. So beautiful. You know, when we tire of our roles and responsibilities and we want to get out of it and change, let us remember that God's will is perfect for us. And maybe God has called you to be a teacher, like Shauna was. Maybe God has called you to be an accountant. Maybe he's called you to be a doctor or a lawyer. Whatever he's called you to, that's your calling in life. But as Christians, we all have the same call. He's called us to a life of faith. He wants us to be faithful in all things. Whenever God calls, we should say, Lord, here I am. Just like Samuel of old, when the Lord spoke, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I like the story of Brother Andrew, and he once said, God does not choose people because of their ability, but because of their availability. And that always speaks to me. God doesn't always call the brightest or the most educated or the most talented person, but he chooses whom he will so that his glory will be demonstrated in us. His strength will be manifested in our weakness. And we give him all the glory for it. So that's our first point, was walk worthy of the Lord. Secondly, walk worthy of our calling. And our third point, walk worthy of the kingdom. Do you know that as believers, we are members of the kingdom of God? It's a high calling to be a member of the kingdom of God. And we often have been studying, right, Mike, about being kingdom disciples, and that we are, and we have a responsibility for that in this world, to proclaim Christ by our words and by our actions, and we are following a higher standard. We have to. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. To walk worthy of the kingdom is to live as a citizen of heaven while living here on this earth. It's great. You notice we have two flags. We have the American flag, we're citizens of the U.S., and we have the Christian flag, we're citizens of heaven. And the key is to live daily for our allegiance, first and foremost, to the Lord. Like Peter said, we shall obey God rather than men. There's an interesting story that was told by Stephen Boliker, who wrote, try to imagine this. In 1944, Germany was at war with England and many other countries too. Now suppose you have a dual citizenship in both Germany and England. How will you be treated? Conversely, suppose you were living in England during the Blitz, when they bombed it so bad. How would you be treated? In either case, you would be forced to renounce your allegiance to your former country and to ally yourself with your present country. There's no middle ground. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. Jesus is on one side, the world is on another side, and the two cannot exist together. He goes on to say they would have never allowed dual citizenship in Germany. We cannot belong to the kingdom of God by living in Christ and living in the darkness of the world at the same time. They're diametrically and violently opposed to one another. But God called us to a kingdom. And I was thinking when these earthquakes happened today, it mentions in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he's given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That is so encouraging to me. So encouraging. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What a privilege. I've been thinking also about the fact that he wants me to behave like a Christian every single day. That's a pretty big challenge, isn't it? To behave as a Christian 24/7, 365 a year, every day, to behave as a Christian, because number one, God watches us. Number two, the people we work with watch us. Our neighbors watch us. They listen to what we say. They want to see if what we do backs up what we say, because we got to walk the talk. We can't just talk the talk. And so he wants us to be kingdom men and women. A lady named Henrietta Nelson Newton Martin said this: the kingdom is an inward reign, deeply personal, and shapes the way we live, think, and interact with the world. The kingdom of God is already active within believers who have embraced God's grace and surrendered to his rule. You know, the king rules over the people, and the people must obey the king. Jesus is our king. We owe our allegiance to him. And when we do that, we live a good life and a godly life in this world. And living in the kingdom is to live worthy of the gospel, to proclaim the gospel by our words and by our actions. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So as we conclude our message today, let's remember to walk worthy of the Lord. We might say, Lord, how am I going to be ever worthy of you? Well, we can't be in ourselves, but in our service for the Lord, we can be if we're surrendered to him and we live to the point of pointing people to the Lord Jesus. And to walk worthy of our calling. It's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. And he's called us to live this kind of life. And third, to walk worthy of the kingdom. To be kingdom disciples who live by the word of God and who give the glory to God. Worthy of the Lord. Worthy of our calling. Worthy of the kingdom. I found this poem and I said, wow, this poem goes with this message like unbelievable, like a hand in a glove. I mean, I can't believe the words are exactly what we've been talking about. And it was written by a lady named Deborah Ann Belka, and she says this: Lord, give me a walk worthy of your grace. Let my soul search daily for your face. Give me a calling worthy of your favor. Let my heart imitate the life of my Savior. Give me a purpose worthy of your love. Let my life reflect your power from above. Give me a service worthy of your trust. Let my mind embody one that's fair and just. Lord, give me a walk worthy in your sight. Let my soul bring to you pleasure and delight. Beautiful poem. May the Lord help us to walk worthy of him, to walk worthy of our calling, and to walk worthy of the kingdom. Shall we just pray? Our Heavenly Father, today we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Help us to live by his lordship, under his kingship and authority. Help us to realize, Lord, that you have control over everything that happens in our life. It doesn't just happen randomly. You allow it, you bring it, and we're so thankful for everything you do in our lives. And we pray as we go from here today and go through these doors that we will live worthy lives, Lord. We are so thankful that you would save wretches like us, sinners like us, worms like us, and you would make us your children, Lord, forever. And we're so thankful. Accept our thanks today, and we just pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.